which I guess don't know was whether a, list,
well,
seems like to me official. That seems like to me that deaconesses may have may be a little broader or a little. It's sort of. It might be sort of like the. I thought Lib Titsworth.
Well, she was director of it.
Well, I thought Lib Titsworth was called director of student activities. Is what I thought was her title. But Mamie J, as I understood it, was a deaconess, and I think that's a little further up the line than, I mean, I think it's like a degree, I don't know, it's just before being the minister.
Now, she was there for about 20 years, I think.
Yes, she was.
You know, the president's home down at Greenville, they're one, the president.
They live in now?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
One they have been occupying.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. My father built all it. The stairway and the cornices for the windows.
Oh,
he did all of that. It was
beautiful.
So that's Horace's granddaddy.
Did it skip a generation or did it?
It skipped his daddy.
Skipped me.
I believe it skipped a generation because I don't believe it. Jimmy or his brothers, either one got that.
Now, is that the house in that Mr. Dale, Haywood Dale,
yes,
built? I mean, it was his
house. It was his house.
As I understood before the, well, several other people had lived in it.
He was in the horse business.
Got it. And the horse?
Yes, he.
And, well, he was in the brick business at one time.
He also had his horse business across from.
Livery stable? Are you talking about like a livery stable?
More or less livery stable, and he also had these trot horses, you know.
Oh, yeah. And then it
show horses, what he was.
Willis Overland, wasn't it?
It was mainly show horses when it was sold.
The livery stables, though, back in those days were almost equivalent to the new new car agencies now.
Well, it was across in the 40s.
Where what I'm saying is, you know, people...
It had that role of selling the...
Well, I had an uncle on my mother's side that used to deal in horses, and you know, as a child, I'd go down to Elm City and see him get them coming in. You know, he'd go down and buy them just like people go and buy antiques on the market somewhere, and then they'd come in. So, but it's not as big business as it's getting to be in North Carolina. It's going to be pretty soon that
coming back, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say you've taken on quite a task for yourself.
I would say I didn't know it was such a task when I agreed to do it. I really, it's been an interesting assignment, and I've got to meet a lot of people that.
Well, are you teaching and doing this too?
Yeah, I'm teaching part-time and doing this. I'm working on the med school and university status, and that, let me get your advice as a man schooled in how to deal tactfully with areas, but it's really too recent to write a to evaluate the whole situation, and yet we don't want to stop it, you know, this history before. Comes down to about 82, but I'm making a transition from a really historical interpretation of it to just almost account of this happened. But what advice would you give me in dealing with the issue, since all the people who were on both sides of the issue are still very much alive, of the med school issue? How would you treat that? And the university status issue from the point of view of the college, you know, focusing on the institution. But.
Well, since it is so much alive, I think I would postpone it as long as possible. I mean, make it, let it, you know, finally let it become history. The thing is, all the pros have expressed themselves.
Yeah.
All of the antis of importance have expressed themselves. People are familiar with the school fight, and it's admitting students in an orderly manner now, and they are contributing to the medical
well,
welfare.
She says, what's the point she's making though is she's got to do, she's got to deal with it.
Well,
and
I know,
it's got to go into
but I
the
say,
total.
She can, she's smart enough to think of reasons to postpone it a while. Maybe you haven't gotten this or that, but you can always find an excuse.
And well, they're going to say, come on, produce this.
And that's such a relevant and so.
I'll tell you what you could do, though, if you wanted to have a fresh lead, and you probably do,
yeah,
is to go beyond East Carolina's boundaries.
Uh-huh.
Go up to the Piedmont or the mountains and see if any of them are settling there.
You mean any of the doctors?
Any of the doctors.
Oh.
The North Carolina State Medical Society, which is located in Raleigh, probably they have the names of all the new doctors who graduate
mm-hmm.
each year, where they go, because most of them become members of society.
Yeah.
And you might find a geographical lead pointing to other places. So it might look like the Big Dipper on the map, but it could be very meaningful.
Well, one of the things is I remember that Dr. Jenkins and the proponents of the med school was their contention that it would mean so much more to the eastern part of the
mm-hmm.
state. And it really would be interesting, you know, if somebody had the time to find out how many of these people that have graduated, and how many years have they graduated or to do that?
I believe 81 was the first year. So we've had only three years.
Well, there's one reason for suggesting this other. To see how far they have gone,
mm-hmm.
and then to bring out the fulfillment of the potential that supporters said they would have.
Mm-hmm. It's
because I think they've won over. They probably won over. The pros have probably won over a lot of the anti
mm-hmm.
since then. So.
It's interesting going all the way back to the predictions they made when the school was established. You know, this will destroy the normal at Greensboro. That was the one that was looked upon as the delicate one and just newly established. And it gives you a little sort of perspective to see none of those predictions ever came true. You know, Greensboro has done fine, and we have too, and it has never impinged.
That's what I told you about. People have to do. They'll have to do their own sifting, you know,
yeah.
to bring the thing in crisp perspective as to how things actually are, or as they see them.
I think I would.
If you have an emotional situation,
yeah.
you want to have some irrational thinking somewhere along the line.
Yeah, and we had. Really, I don't think we've had an emotional issue in North Carolina since then, have we?
No.
As the med school and the university status
no.
and the final consolidation, that whole package.
Right. That whole package.
And actually, the speaker ban, do you think that was connected very much with the whole issue?
I think not. I think it was secondary.
Mm-hmm. An extraneous.
Yeah.
Issue. I sort of have to treat that in passing. All these things you could write a whole book about, you know.
You really could. I mean, the
whole area. But I noticed in some of the analysis of the speaker ban that some people seem to think it was an attack upon the University of Chapel Hill because of the civil rights activists that they were perceived to be in 63 and that they were leading protest movements and that of course it was communist inspired, according to their ideas. And some have suggested that the strong support for East Carolina in some groups, not all groups that did support East Carolina, but some saw East Carolina as the more conservative school which we really are not, but it had that image as being
Well, I think some of the people felt as I did about too much physical growth
uh-huh.
and not enough academic excellence.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think a lot of people began to wonder about that. That maybe we're getting too big physically,
uh-huh.
too big to even put all the students that we would have, or even get the faculty they deserved, or give them the library they deserved,
uh-huh.
or give them facilities they really could use. I think a lot of people were getting concerned about that, but
uh-huh.
I think things are shaping now so that it has answered the questions that a lot of people had in their minds. But
yeah, well, I think that with Dr. Messick and again with Dr. Jenkins, a lot of that growth was very intentional because that was a way to increase the appropriations by the student enrollment, and it was a way to get the growth, you know, the whole pattern. And then in the last 10, well, since the early 70s, we have really slowed down and have really consolidated the whole and focused on the academic development a lot more. But I think it was an intentional growth. I mean, encouraged so much. Perhaps took some people in that were not as well qualified. And in the mid '60s.
Well, they were looking for numbers, you know, and so
yeah.
forth.
Because there's tremendous numbers out there applying too.
Oh yeah, sure.
In the 60s and 70s. But Dr. Jenkins is an interesting person to write about.
Well, he has done a lot of good for the,
mm-hmm.
the university. And I think the fact he had been the dean of men for 10 years
yeah. mm-hmm.
when he became president, that gave him a link with the students and faculty. So he had a good, he had the ball rolling as far as proposing something
mm-hmm.
when he became president that he would have had to acquire otherwise.
Yeah, as they say.
In other words, he and Dr. Messick traveled together a lot. I mean, to the legislature, mm-hmm. to alumni gatherings and so forth, so they probably swapped ideas when they were traveling.
Yeah, I think that's where they did a lot of long-range planning.
And then when they had their floor fights, you know, in the legislature, they did a lot of work together then because they'd come right down to the finish line about an appropriation, either getting this project or that one. We've got to drop one of the two.
Messick was a very good lobbyist, wasn't he?
He was. I mean, both of them were good lobbyists. Mm-hmm. So they had lobbying going for them, more or less.
He's an interesting man. Do you know Dr. Messick?
Yes.
Right. You
mm-hmm.
weren't. You were just there, just briefly, when he was coming.
I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wasn't he the president the summer that we were there?
Yeah, he came in.
Yes, he used to come to a lot of
We used to get back down to all the things, mm-hmm. you know, like Alumni Day and different things
yeah.
like that.
When did your son graduate, Horace?
Horace graduated in 72.
Oh yeah, so he was in.
Mm-hmm. He's about 32 now.
Yeah. During our great issues and struggles. Do you have a daughter?
Yes, we have a daughter that's 27.
Mm-hmm. Did she graduate from
this? She graduated from the University of Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
She's with an ad agency in Raleigh.
Well, now, have you retired from the News and Observer completely or partially?
Well, not completely.
Well, you retired, but you just got your hands in another.
When I thought I was retiring, I got about a dozen offers on the paper. But the general manager started this Atlantic Coast basketball football.
Mm-hmm.
words, it's
edition.
10 to 12 pages. They go to 52 states and 11 foreign countries.
Oh.
And he wanted me to continue that. So I have, and
is that a weekly?
It's a weekly.
Insert.
And I take
notes, not an insert.
It goes to people who just
Subscribes for that.
Subscribe for
it. It's such big interest, doesn't it?
So I've been doing that. I get it to them on Monday, and they print it after the time's run. But I call the printer each day and tell him what to say in way of pictures and stories and so forth. And,
you compile it from the regular.
Yes, I can show you. I think I have a copy.
Somebody asked me the other day what you did, and I said, "Well, to tell you the truth, I don't even know whether
I've ever."
I said, "I don't know whether I've ever seen a copy of it, you know, when it was finished." And he's done so many things, and it's so hard to conceive of. He gets the papers and he clips the main things and cuts out the ads and that kind of thing till it's lay it here in this chair if you want to.
Well, that's what keeps you very busy in retirement.
About an hour every morning.
Oh, is that?
He gets up. Well, now you're going to show her that, but you don't have the real. Oh, I want you to get me a real copy and let me see it. That's just
I think I probably have.
That's a vague. Uh-huh. That's not going to give her an idea of what you do.
But. Well, it will.
Oh, yeah.
This will be one of the pages. But this story is on the back of another story.
Uh-huh, so
But I've told the printer to save this. So, in fact, I've told him to save all of this material. So he has saved it. So when he gets my dummies, he'll just take the the paste up and put it on this sheet, and then they'll.
That goes. And this, what is it, about a 10 or 12 page?
Yeah, it's 10 paper. Or 12 pages.
And people subscribe to that?
They subscribe, it goes all over the.
Like people in Germany who might be, over there.
Pat Stiff, our research investigator, he. A crime reporter, investigator. He sent it to his son in Germany a couple of weeks ago. He told me the other day, Jim said, my son thinks that ACC basketball was a wonderful thing to ever hit Europe.
Well, that is a good idea. They're such avid fans.
I think I have a copy of this is one I got last year. I didn't even see
I want you to get me tell them to save you a copy because I don't think I've ever seen a copy.
I can get a copy, but I just didn't want one. Just be more junk.
Oh, well, you can just forget it. What is that you just pulled out there? Is that just something?
No, that's
something else. Comment section or something. I don't think you have one in there. It's not big enough.
A question I just came upon it yesterday when I was checking through the index files and I asking you, I guess, to do some of my homework for me. Do you recall Senator Henley? He's the one that introduced the bill for the university, and then he introduced a compromise bill, and I can't place him anywhere. I can check him out.
I'll tell you how you can do it. Thad Year's office, they publish this directory of legislators each year.
Yeah.
So if you go to, if next time you pass his office, if you go in there, they have this directory. It's usually a red book.
Mm-hmm.
But it tells the county the people are from and has a little biographical sketch.
Yeah.
But if you will look in this little red book, you will find it.
He's not anybody that I have seen. His name and any, like Walter Jones or Morgan or any of our great outstanding supporters in the floor. And the only time I've seen him is in connection with this university staff.
Senator Henley's got twin sons, and I know I was trying to.
You would find the background there.
Excuse me. I was trying to think where. where the, he was
where
from.
Where he died. What is, I don't know what his
name. No, I don't know the sons, but I just heard something about his boys marrying. They got married here a few years ago, and I knew the person in, or the family of the, that their boys married into, and I was trying to think where in the world he was from.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think it's Robinson County. No, I'm pretty sure, but Henley. That
sometimes in situations like this, they might have used somebody that wasn't connected with anything to be a kind of a neutral. But I just had never heard the name
Senator Henley.
As in any of our literature, and that's what I thought. Maybe I can check it.
Now that really, when I can't recall, that bothers me, because I know that that name
rings a bell.
Seems like to me the boys may. Oh, I know who they married, but I don't know where they're from. They married, one of them married a Methodist minister's son who was here at Raleigh. In fact, he was out just in the, what then was the suburbs a few years ago. Here, the name was Warren. He married Reverend Warren's daughter, one of them, and I believe he was a twin.
Mm-hmm.
And I've forgotten where he's from, and they're not in Raleigh now, and I don't know anybody that would know.
Follow his lead, Mr.
But it hasn't been, he's been in the legislature, I would say, in the last 8 years, within the last 8 years.
I'll have to check out.
I just don't remember.
Check it out. Have you been teaching school? You just said something about you had a school teacher.
I taught until our oldest son was born in 47. I taught a little while the first year we came here, I finished out the year. And then our first child was born in 47, and then I didn't teach any for years because Jimmy worked from 2:30 in the afternoon to 11:30 at night. And our daughter was born after we came here, and she was 4 years old, and I got depressed and got on the phone one day and went back to, and anyway, they wanted me to come and have an interview. It was 2 days before school started. So I started back and taught 2 years out at Knightdale. They had 2 first grade vacancies that year. And anyway, I taught until this June of 81.
Oh,
retired.
So you did have a...
26, I had 26 years off.
But were you in the primary, first grade?
First grade, I was first grade.
Well, when the third child went to school, she went back in to teach.
That's a good time to do it.
Laura had been in kindergarten. I had not planned to send her that fall, but when I got the chance of this job, I called where she had gone to our church, and they said yes, they could take her, so I went and took the job and hadn't even bought the children's clothes, much less anything for myself. So, but it worked out real well through the years, and we got the children fairly obedient and followed our rules that we laid down, and so I often said that with Jimmy having a flexible schedule, I never did have to stay out with a sick child.
Oh, good.
And I said sometime, I think maybe it was at my retirement dinner, I said, well, I've had so many friends that had young children or babies, you know, and they'd have to take all of their sick leave to stay out with the child, or they had nobody to take them to the doctors. I said, I don't think I could have done it if I'd have had those kinds of problems. But
when Laura was small, she had on a little red dress, a coat, and a little red hat, red gloves, and red pocketbook, and she was putting Kleenex in the pocketbook. I said, honey, what is the Kleenex for? Tears. She knew she was going to get a shot.
Tears when I get my shot.
Yeah. Tears.
Well,
why
is
it?
That's how she was prepared.
And she lives here in Raleigh, huh?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice. What'd you have?
I said she graduated last year, and she's 27. She decided to go to New York and model for a year, and then she fell in love and got married, and then that didn't work out. So she took the long way around to a degree, but
I found that those people that do that, when they do it, they know what they're doing then.
Well,
when they go back, I have a friend thought of it in my class, and she's just doing beautiful work and had, you know, and once they settle down, they really know what they're doing.
Well, I think I told somebody the other day that even in her work now, the fact that she went to New York and we got her up there and said, now if you can take this money and stay for a month or however long you make it last, that's what we can do. And if you choose to do that instead of finishing college. And so she stayed up there until in the spring. Her best friend wanted her to come home and play for her wedding. And she came down on Monday, well, that weekend she was just run down because these kids can't diet and get their weight down and, you know, stay so they can wait tables and work or whatever the work is. And so she was very run down, of course. And she had her weight right in here, and that was always a problem for her. And she was exactly the minimum height, so she didn't have any extra height to spare. So she came home down with strep throat, and her daddy had to take her to the doctor on Monday morning. She says, Mom, Daddy, I just can't go back to New York now. So anyway, at the end of the week, she went back and got her things and came home. And then shortly in the fall, she met her husband-to-be, and they decided to be married. But she has had it now. She hadn't been working but 6 months, or she started work in June, and she had to serve luncheons for their clients who come in from out of town. They have coming in from New York and Florida and all around. And evidently, now I was not there to see it, but her expertise at handling a bottle of wine, let's say, or you know, being able to do it quickly and efficiently and knowing which side to serve the plate on, mm-hmm. and this, even though the luncheons were catered, it took her help to do it.
I think
this is, she said to me one day, she said, Mother, the other girl that said she didn't even know what kind of wines to serve, said I had to choose, said she went shopping, but I had to do the choosing. And so I feel like that, you know, it's really an advantage to her is having our son said, the son, this Horace, we lost our oldest son in February of 71. And when he was here back from, he was a sophomore in East Carolina, Horace was at the time. And he said, Mom, he said, if I don't ever go to school anymore, he said, I'm glad that I've had the exposure. He said, because the student of the friends that came back here that had graduated with him and had stayed here in Raleigh, he says they just, you know, they just don't broaden. You know, they're...
He said they don't even talk about things that interest you. Said just
Laura says that when she went back to her first...
Can I get you a glass of water or anything?
No, thank you.
Reunion, to her first reunion, said all they could talk about was their friends, you know, back in high school. They just hadn't reached out. They didn't have any new friends, you know. And I think that that's true.
And it's sad to see young people getting so tunnel vision almost because they haven't expanded and done things. I've heard someone say that, though, for young people under 30, you know, whatever experience, and they go off and work and do it, it's nothing wasted. They can, if they're alert, they pick up so much in their experience and bring it back and get into other work with it.
It's,
I've noticed young people, you know, in some of the stores, they're very industrious.
Uh-huh. It's
because there's a lot of competitiveness, you know, in business now, so they want to make the mark.
It's like Horace said, Ms. Vaughn said the other day, said Horace made just a slight reference. In other words, he said he had to he had to take out time to build a ship and do this and that and the other and take it to Florida, which I said to, I've said since, as soon as he got married, he has a family and another one on the way. And I realized after he, it's in himself, it was very urgent for him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that if he hadn't done it then, he'd never have done it after that.
Till he retires,
yeah. Well, then I don't know. He may be like me. I retired the 18th of June, and by the 19th of August, I was having surgery on my knees.
Oh.
Just immediately, within 2 weeks after I retired, I've got severe arthritic damage.
Oh, for goodness sakes, is it bothering you still?
Yes, it is. I've walked with a cane for a year.
I'll answer this time.
I didn't notice today.
Well, I have not had any pain pills since the 30th of January, but...
I guess it comes and goes.
No, not really.
It just comes.
It stays with me, but I haven't had as much pain at night. It's, that's...
Okay.